Okay. I'm going to read from Romans chapter 13, starting in verse 11. Besides this, you know what time it is, how it is already the moment for you to wake from sleep. For salvation is nearer to us now than when we became believers. The night is far gone, the day is near. Let us then throw off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us walk decently as in the day, not in reveling and drunkenness, not in illicit sex and licentiousness, not in quarreling and jealousy. Instead, put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to gratify its desires. This is Advent. Time to wake up. The sun is rising, day is coming. It's time to put the night, the darkness squarely behind us. And lean forward into the new thing that God is getting ready to do. What does the darkness look like? Well, he gives some really ugly examples. Excessive drinking and partying and sex. And maybe some of us here today need to be reminded we are called to more than that. We are called to so much more than just obeying whatever urge this body feels like submitting to from one moment to the next, whatever whim the body has. God is calling us to something so much greater than that. Now, maybe some of us are thinking, okay, I'm not exactly the biggest party animal. But Paul doesn't really let us slip out from underneath this one. He says, put the darkness behind you. What is the darkness? It's just gratifying whatever urge, whatever desire the body may have toward drink, toward some kind of physical excess. But that's not all. He slips in there as well. Quarreling and jealousy. You don't have to be some crazy party animal to suffer from that, do you? He's got us all pinned down, every one of us. The flesh, which is typically, not always, but typically Paul's word for the ego, we've seen it 100 times in Romans this year, haven't we? I want, I deserve. That thing. It needs to be constantly satiated. Paul says, that is how we live in the dark, but the sun is rising. God is about to do a new thing. God is getting ready to confront you. Church, God is getting ready to turn, to take everything you think you know and turn it upside down. God is coming, and what he's got in his sights is all your priorities, all your values, all your routines. And he is going to take those things and transform them. Are you ready for that? Or will you run from the sunrise and cling to the darkness a bit longer? He says all this right after the passage that we read a few weeks ago, that I said, honestly, I'm not that crazy about the government, the taxes, that portion of Romans 13. This is what immediately follows that. And what Paul was getting at is essentially, it's not the church's job to be literal rebels. I know Star Wars makes it really cool to go and blow up the Death Star and really fight the evil authority, but that's not how God expects the church to engage the world. And he kind of adds up to something a little bit deflating, which is pay your taxes, be a good citizen, be good to people. Don't obey the speed limit. Don't make that big a fuss. Because your actual witness to the world around you is that you would be a community so possessed by your love for each other that it would shine a light on where the world's love is lacking. That's how you can fight back. But he doesn't stop there. He says, he's kind of saying, don't think it's your job to launch a revolt because the real thing that God is doing, it's coming up with the sunrise. It's almost here. And don't be so concerned with trying to remake the world around you in your image that you forget and miss out on the thing that God is getting ready to do. The light that God is preparing to bring you into. The clothing, as he puts it. The clothing that is Christ himself. When you've been clothed in Christ, when the light of God has fully shined on you, the flesh, the ego, will have lost all its power over you. That's the real thing God is doing. Don't get distracted by anything else. And he says something so incredibly powerful. Because it is true at any moment, any given moment of any given day, he says, salvation is nearer to us now than it was when we first became believers. Salvation is closer than it was before. That was true this morning when we got out of bed. Salvation was closer in that moment than it ever had been at any point in the past. And right now, salvation is closer than it was before at any point in the past. When we lay our heads down on the pillow tonight, salvation will be closer than it was before at any point in the past. It's always true. Say it every second of the day, and it will be just as true every time you say it. Salvation is closer to us now than it was before. Salvation is often, maybe not always, but oftentimes the word we use to kind of talk about the state of the afterlife. Have I secured my place in the far more preferable afterlife? But that's really only a slice of what we mean when we use this word and what the Bible means when the Bible uses this word, when Paul uses this word. Yes, salvation is about where we are going to spend eternity, but it's so much more than that. We are not only slotted into the category of the saved, but salvation refers to the work, the transforming work that God is doing in the human heart and in the human mind. The work that God is doing to redeem, to remake, to change the way we think and feel about everything. And that loving, redeeming, transforming work is closer to us now than it was before at any point in the past. It's closer to us now than when I started saying it 2 or 3 minutes ago. It's never going to stop being true. It's never going to stop being closer, God's loving, redeeming, transforming work to not just bring us to a nice place, but to actually make us people that live in tune with the rhythm of His love and His will and His wisdom. What the season of Advent is so that we can be confronted by that good news, and then we can anticipate with that much more love and intensity that you and I could lean forward into this promise more and more. God, your salvation, your saving, rescuing work in our lives, closer now than it's ever been. God, what are you up to? We can't wait. What does it make you want to do in the meantime? This promise that the sun is rising, the darkness is about to be squarely behind us, that God's rescuing, transforming work in our lives is always closer and closer. What does it make you want to do in preparation? What kind of prayers does that good news make you want to pray? What kind of habits does that promise make you want to form and live in as a rhythm? What kind of acts of service does that promise inspire you to carry out? How is it changing us? Well, to wrap up, let's pray. Let's not just acknowledge this good news and this truth. Let's put it into a habit of prayer. Let's take 2 minutes with this breath prayer that we read earlier in Psalm 25. And for anyone who needs it, breath prayer, it is a way to involve the body in the act of prayer. God didn't give us these bodies for no reason. These bodies, not just the heart and the mind, but the body itself is capable of praying. And that's what this is. We will breathe in the top line, God of my salvation, and we will breathe out, I wait all day for you. We will breathe that prayer in and out. The prayer will ride our breath up and down silently. We'll do this for 2 minutes. And if we're coming away from Romans 13 thinking that this is great news, what can I do? Here's where we start. By prayerfully putting ourselves in this posture of anticipation as we wait for God to do the thing that He wants to do in our lives. Okay. I'll watch the clock so that you don't have to. We'll take 2 minutes and breathe this prayer in and out. Father God, we come to you now. In humility and openness to your love, to your will, to your wisdom. Whatever it is that you have for us this morning and today and this week, please help us to open up our hearts and minds to it. This is our prayer in the name of your precious Son, Jesus. Amen. Church, I hope that we will move into the coming week in a posture of anticipation. We are promised God is going to do something. God is going to show up in your day. God is going to intervene in your life in order to bless you and to make you know his love and his ways. I hope we will be prepared as best as we know how. If there's anything that you need from this church, any way that this church can be a blessing to you, we invite you to come forward and let us know what that is. And if you're here today feeling this pull to respond to the promise that God's rescuing and renewing action in your life is not done with you, and you are feeling the pull to the waters of baptism, then we would invite you with these words from Romans 6 that I've read so many times this year. Don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore, we were buried with him by baptism into death, so that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, so we also might walk in newness of life. Amen. Let's stand and sing.